Sunday Baroque Conversations is made possible by the Friends of Sunday Baroque and is produced at WSHU Public Radio in Fairfield, Connecticut. I'm Suzanne Bona. Thanks for listening. Don't miss an episode of Sunday Baroque Conversations. Subscribe on Apple, Google, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And please leave us a review. If you want to find out where you can listen to our weekly show, visit our website, sundaybaroque.org, for a station list and our 24/7 stream. Again, that's sundaybaroque.org. Harpsichordist Chung-hae Kim is an award-winning Baroque music expert who has studied at some of the most acclaimed institutions, including Peabody Conservatory in Baltimore, Oberlin Conservatory in Ohio, the Sphalink Conservatory of Music in Amsterdam, and Indiana University in Bloomington. She performs as a soloist and chamber music collaborator with leading musicians and ensembles, has decades of experience teaching music theory, ear training, keyboard performance, and chamber music, and frequently gives lectures and masterclasses on historical performance. Chung-hae Kim joins me on Zoom to talk about her life in music. Welcome.
Thank you. Hello. So wonderful to be here. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
I'm excited.
So let's start by talking about how you're doing. You know, it's been such a strange and stressful couple of years for everyone during the pandemic, with particular challenges for people in the arts. So how are you, and how have you been doing?
Oh, sure. As we all are experiencing this COVID and Omicron, and who knows what's going to be for next one that we have to face. But if someone mentioned about COVID, I just first of all, I have to thank you for the, you know, first responders, and the deepest condolence to people who lost their family members and friends. During the COVID, for me, for everybody, I guess, we didn't know what to expect and how long it's going to last. So looking back, I did my best, and I have many lectures, masterclasses, and also Zoom concert in my living room. That was such a new experience for me. And of course, I taught many students because all my concerts and and the tour got canceled and postponed and rescheduled and then got postponed because we didn't know how many times. And I even had a plane ticket ready to go to Korea 3 times. That's also including my last December. South Korea, at a concert scheduled with playing with the orchestra. And I was really excited, and the Korean government requires to have a second visa for the during the COVID time. So I did all that follow-up, and I got a train ticket on my hand, and all I need to do is just be ready. And so my usual thing, and then Omicron hit. That I even scheduled for my classes to make it all worked out with my, you know, with all the details and make sure that I don't miss anything, and that, and this thing just happened, and it's just not stopping. As what we do as a, you know, musicians and artists, it's a hard time financially and mentally. I still remember like when it actually happened the day, and I had to present a concert, and then I had to drive to Palo Alto to coach a chamber ensemble at Stanford, and everything just got stopped. It was like a bad dream to me, almost.
Yeah.
But I found my ways to deal with, instead of concerts, I can do lectures. As I mentioned, I did some possible concerts in the living room, but that wasn't fun. But I did it because that's what we all trying to make some sense out of this. So I guess now that it's over a year, we are somewhat experienced for me. So I know how to operate, like for instance, like Zoom and mic and better lighting and second camera to show music and my hand position, etc. Yeah. So I think I'm getting to be an expert. So it's not all bad, of course, not for people who got hurt and passed away, but people right. who are trying to survive. I think I would give myself, I don't know, B plus, A minus. Yeah.
So yeah. When did you start being a musician? What instrument or instruments did you first start on? Because I'm assuming it wasn't harpsichord. And I'd love to know too.
I'm sorry. Like, I'm laughing. Yes.
That's okay. And how did you veer off into harpsichord?
It's funny that you asked me that question.
Uh-oh.
Because harpsichord is not... Here we go. Yes, I start with violin lessons.
Oh.
And I was very young and I loved my violin. And Isaac Perlman was my personal hero of mine. I know we never met each other, but I feel like I already know you. It's very, I can be a little personal here, yeah. even though you're public radio. I had a polio when I was 4 and a half. And I studying violin lessons, not because of Mr. Perlman, but that was given to me and I choose that instrument. I don't know why. And all I remember was my teacher would start teaching lessons. And after few lessons, which I was really looking forward to learn more about violin. And she had talked with my mom, I guess. And she said, the violin is something that you stand up and play, and this is not for her. So they took away my violin. I know I'm laughing now, but it was really sad. And I just cry and cry all night. It's just kind of shocking me a little bit. And I fell asleep with crying. And so I started piano after that. And so I guess my mom thought, okay, then right away we're going to start something that she can sit down and play. Mm-hmm. So I did that. Even though I wasn't playing violin, I always respect Mr. Perlman. And he had a polio, as we all know. Yeah. And he was very successful, world-famous musician.
I would say so.
I know so. So when I was in high school, all my classmates had we had a study notebook. So we put all the people that who we loved to be with on, in a teenager time, you run rock stars or movie stars, somebody. But I had on my music notebook cover, I had an Isaac Perlman in my notebook. Yes, I was a nerd. And as I mentioned, he was a personal hero of mine. Yeah. And my wish came true that I was able to play with him. I know, isn't it amazing?
Wow.
It's on my bucket list that I know it would never happen, but I just had it. And so I can check now that I performed with Mr. Isaac Perlman. What happened was San Francisco Symphony had a gala concert with him in 2018, September. It was right before, I guess, COVID time. Mm-hmm. And he was playing violin concerto by Bach, and they needed harpsichordist. So I was there. I don't know if you can announce the radio, but it's back of my head to left. There is him and with Mr. Michael Thurston Thomas conducting. It's something beautiful happened in the second movement. it's a true story that it's just him, myself, and a cellist, as you know. You know, it's like a continuous thing.
Yeah.
And I just felt like I'm like flying. Like, is this for real? And I know I'm supposed to concentrate on all my figures and continue and all that. Oh. But at that like moment of wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me just fly some more.
I have to ask you though, Chung Hae, did you tell Mr. Pearlman that his picture was on your notebook? Did he know? Did you tell him what a fan you are? What an admirer you are?
Oh, you're so nice. I couldn't because he was so busy. He was surrounded with all this, you know, famous people and well-known musicians. But what happened was after gala, he was so kind that, so I was standing outside. He was like taking pictures. It was, you know, just gala concerts, the donors and, you know, people who really help our symphonies. And they, so I was waited a little bit and I thought, no, he's not going to care. He's not going to remember me. And then I said, I'm going to go. And then my friend grabbed my shoulder. I said, Chung Hae. I said, yeah. I said, you're not going home. If you go home right now, I'm ever going to talk to you again.
That's a good friend.
I know.
That is a good friend.
Yeah, I know. And I said, why? I don't want to make him more tired. Like, yeah, but he was your dream and since when? You're a teenager and now how old are you? And I said, no, let's not get there. He said, so I said, no, I don't want to. I said, no, I'm waiting with you and you're not going anywhere. So I waited outside of his door until everybody kind of, you know, in out the crowd and so I told him that if I could and take a picture and and I told him how much I admire him, but I don't think I get to the point of my notebook story.
Oh. will you share that? Do you have that picture that you can share with us? Maybe we can put it up when we post this interview.
Sure, yeah, that's one of my highlights of my
all right.
My dream come true. So it's thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So clearly music is something that is just, you know, it is in your bones, you know. At what point did you know that music is your life's work? Like were you still a very little girl when you just thought, oh my goodness, I'm passionate about this and I have to make this my life's work?
I liked music and my sister was taking piano lessons before me. We have a big gap of 7 years. It's my closest sister. I have other sisters as well. They were even further apart, but my closest younger sister, we are 7 years difference. So when she started and before me, and when I was playing, I kind of have to like following her footsteps, but she was a lot faster than me because I was too young. And she's smart too. So so I like slowly catching up on my lessons, and then I finally get to where she's at, or close enough, or same book, or something like that. And then she quit, and then she started again because I'm about to near her where she's learning. So like a sibling thing, you know.
Oh, a little
very
competition.
Typical. So right. So we did a couple of times and then she finally like didn't stop again, you know, at a certain point. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of hoping that she would because it kind of motivates me to like, I can do this. Mm-hmm. So I always liked music and my family listen to classical music, but none of them are musicians. And in fact, my dad wanted me to be something lucrative business so that I can support myself. I think they were worried that you know, I have a disability, and you know, we wanted to have her to have a good life just like any other parents would.
Sure.
But I think there were a little more pressure, so to speak. They pushed me hard than my other siblings looking back because they were just worried. So my dad was pushing me to like either be a doctor, a medical doctor, or even, you know, at one point it was for joking after he had some glass of wine. He said, how about dentists? Everybody has a teeth and you can help them out. And I said, no. And then how about pharmacists? You can, you know, prescribe medicine to people, helping other people. But I liked music. And I didn't think I was going to be a musician, but the opportunity came. I wasn't even thinking about being an other, like I wanted to be a reporter or a writer or something rather. But when I was in high school, I had a music competition that I won. It was nationwide. And scholarship was given to U.S. to study music for one year, I think, one semester. So I applied, and because my teacher thought I could do it, so I went to kind of very focused on academic high school, all girls private school, and I liked math, so that's what I was more likely being some kind of science or whatever. And so, but my teacher said, let's go for this, you know, wouldn't hurt you. And so I got up early even and practiced and wake everybody up and then like 5 a.m. and then before I went to school I practiced, and then after I come back and I practiced some more, and then I did my homework, stuff like that. I did it for like I don't know, a couple of months. So I enter it, and that gives me, and I won. So that gave me an opportunity to come to U.S.
Yeah.
So I was excited, like, wow, I am gonna go. And here we go again. My dad said, you're not going anywhere. What are you talking about?
What?
I know.
How old are you at this point? You're a teenager still?
Yeah.
A teenager?
Yes, okay. I was in high school. Yeah. Okay. So what, 10th grade? 10th grade.
Oh, 15, yeah. Right? 15, 16?
Yes, right. Of course.
Going to another continent. Wow.
And I, once again, you know, disability thing didn't go away. And my dad was like, how are you going to cook yourself? How are you going to do laundry? I mean, he was very practical. I mean, he was a wonderful father. I miss him very much. I lost him a few, 7 years ago. But we were good friends, too. It's not like he was just saying no for fun or anything, because he cares for me. So he said, young lady, I'm sorry. You work hard. I give you credit for that. And I will do anything, but you cannot go to U.S. And, you know, it still made me a little bit choking up. And I knew that he was saying it because he loved me, not because he didn't want me to go, just because you're not going anywhere. And, of course, my mom was, you know, quiet at the corner and being not happy and crying a little bit. And so I listened to what he had to say, and I had to say what I wanted to say. You should tell me this before I apply this. And I work hard for this, and now the opportunity is here, and then I'm not gonna let go.
Wow.
And
who
won? So we had a like, I'm here, obviously, but we had a little bit of a battle, and I didn't want to see him for a while. And so after like 3 days, and we had a long discussion, and then he presented me with a round trip ticket to U.S.
Wow, goodness.
Yeah.
What a beautiful success story, too, and strong woman. And you knew your heart, and you spoke up for yourself, and you knew what tactic would work to convince your parents. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Thank you. I'm still a little bit embarrassed when you say success story. I don't think I'm very successful, but thank you.
We're talking because you're such a success. That's why. So I would love to hear about your ensemble, Ensemble Mirable. You know, that's your chamber group, right? So let's start with the name, first of all, and then talk a little bit about the group, your mission, and the music that you play.
sure. I'm an artistic director of Ensemble Mirabeau, and it started when I was studying my doctorate at Indiana University with, so we are co-founder of, with Joanna Blandoff, the cellist. Mm-hmm. She is teaching at IU right now. And so that's where I met Joanna, and we both moved to Bay Area in 1998. Yeah. And we've been playing together already, and we both happened to move here. So we are playing, so why not have a group together? Mm-hmm. And so we give many concerts local, and the EMA at that time had a musical competition called Dorian International. I think, I don't know exact title, but it was Dorian International Competition for Early Music or something like that. So, and before then, we just wrote Chung-hae Kim or Joanna Blandoff and myself, Chung-hae Kim, but they won names. Oh. So, so let's have a name. Maybe I shouldn't tell you this.
No, care, but it's good story.
Yeah, so we found names that we were doing a lot of French music, and I love French music, especially 17th century is my love. As you can tell, I have my solo album, Stanger Bear. And then also my husband helped me. He said, oh, how about this and this and that? And then I look around and we like come up together with Ensemble Mirabeau. That means strong and powerful. Mm-hmm. And I like that name. So we submitted. And we were like going up and up and up, like, wow, really? And we actually got honorable mention. So second prize, basically. But yeah.
Wow.
So that's, yeah.
And how absolutely perfect, strong and powerful. Right? You just told us about what a strong and powerful person you are. So teachers are such an important part of a musician's life, and you have had some really outstanding teachers and mentors, and that includes the late, great harpsichordist Gustav Leonhardt. I would love to know more about what that experience was like, what was Mr. Leonhardt like, and what were some of the most important things you learned with him?
Wow. I need another hour.
I'll bet.
So, yes, starting with Mr. Leonhardt, it was turning point in my career. Just having him for a year and lessons, those were just the enriching times of my life. I rent a very small bed from a Dutch couple, one bedroom, and I slept under harpsichord, because I couldn't fit my harpsichord and a bed. But I was happiest girl. So I practiced, and I have lessons with him weekly, and every lesson was astonishing. Mr. Leonhardt was always very formal. He always called me Miss Kim. I corrected him a couple of times, Mr. Leonhardt, please call me Chung-hae. It's not that he couldn't pronounce my name, which is Kim is a little easier. So I concerned that, you know, my name was a little funky, but he did that to everybody. Okay. And he was very giving. I can think of like many lessons that I had. And one time after lesson, I was packing my things, and there was Mrs. Leonhardt, Marie Leonhardt, came in with a full set of a beautiful Delft tea set in the tray.
Wow.
And he said, let's have some tea and talk. Do you have a time? I'm like, are you kidding me? Wow. Like, of course I have a time. Yes, please. Thank you. In fact, before she turned around and left, I asked Mrs. Leonhardt to join us, because I don't want her to just, you know, bring us the tea and leave. I said, oh, no, you guys talk. And that's, so she never joined. It happened a couple more times as well. And she just left. and we talked about antique, not so much about harpsichord at that time.
Okay.
And he was very knowledgeable about antiques, and his house was full of antiques. There isn't like anything modern in that household, and with a beautiful instrument. And he mentioned over the tea meetings, he said, "I'm just so lucky that I didn't have to teach hooligans." And so I was just happy to hear that. I guess I'm not one of the hooligans, you know, at least. Because I didn't feel that I, you know, my learning was so much that I just felt like I don't know much in front of him or with him when I'm having lessons every time. There are all precious memories. He accepts like 3 or 4 students internationally, and I was very fortunate to have that opportunity to study with him. Sometimes when I like open the book, even now, I see like he barely writes it, but when there was something really wrong, he brings over his tiny pencil from his pocket and writes for you in your book. And I cherish that. Every time I look at it, like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
That was a real, it was not just a dream that I studied with him. And
wow.
If you do really well, he let you play, and that lesson can go on for like over 2 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's like basically a recital.
Wow.
So I had to have a plan for, okay, this, I cannot survive this for a year. That took me like many months to polish and play.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a, like a mix of one new and one old, so I can, you know, stretch a little bit, because I would be running out of things to play for him. And if I do a good job, he just listened to it and very like critiques. That's the one thing about I like his teaching style, is that every student has a style. It doesn't all sound like him. You know, some students, sometimes they teach you the ways that they kind of become very similar, or at least. But for his student, they are very different.
Mm-hmm.
And there, I had a couple of these too, and it's my confession. But if I didn't do so well, he kind of, may I, means you have to get up and move to side so he can sit down in the chair and play for you.
Oh.
So I try not to hear may I too many times.
Yeah. Although, I mean, to get to hear Gustav Leinhardt play.
Oh, yes. Oh, definitely. Yes, that's
kinda
amazing.
Nice.
and I still remember when I had a Dangle Bear suite that I played for him, and then he sat down, and then he said, "Over here, you might want to think about dynamics." And I said, "Yes, I did, Mr. Leonhard. I wanted to do this crescendo, extendo over here. I had a plan." And he said, "Well, it's kind of hard, isn't it? Because the lower note is in the weak beat, and the heavier note is in the weak beat, and the octave higher one in serve is a downbeat. So, of course, naturally, the octave higher one is going to be lighter than octave lower one." And I said, "Yeah, I'm really trying that. I don't think I accomplished." Now, obviously, he was sitting in the chair at that time. So I don't know how to do it. And he said, "Okay," then he played for me. Okay?
Yeah.
And I heard it. I heard the dynamics. And I almost screamed. I said, "Ah!" Like, "Wait a minute." I said, how did you do that? Please, can I hear it one more time, please?"
Wow.
And he just like glimpse of smile on his face. He said, "Oh, you can figure it out. Go home and figure it out." I'm like, "Oh no." So, and I think I don't know what he would think, but I think I accomplished that. I like to, I hear the dynamics when on my, at least on my recording, I really try, I puzzle and I thought, given many and much thought about what to do with kind of music. So, yes, he was a wonderful, amazing scholar and performer and teacher, but I think he's also a philosopher in some aspects. That so I, when I'm traveling and my next concert, I mean, not so much these days because we are in the COVID and Omicron time, but I study a lot with just music and me. Mm-hmm. And I plan things, and that has been very tremendous help as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, like, you know, I lessons up the lessons.
Oh,
but,
bad.
How
did Mr. Langenhardt and how did all of your teachers, how did they influence the kind of a teacher you are?
Sure. I also wanted to mention that, you know, not just Langenhardt, before I get there, you know, I... using this opportunity to thank them. I studied with the Webb Wiggins, Peabody, Lisa Crawford at Oberlin, and also Bob Van Asperen in Amsterdam, and of course, Mr. Langenhardt. I couldn't be here without them.
Mm-hmm.
They were very selfless and giving. I didn't know much about harpsichord. This is all happened after I came to U.S.
Mm-hmm.
At Peabody, I looked at the instrument. And, oh, this is what harpsichord is. It's at my dog age, but and I try. I just knock on the door because the people are going in and out, and I was waiting for the practice rooms to open.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the student introduced me what this is and what it is and sound beautiful, and then they offer me like, oh, we can try it. And so I try that, and I think I tried one of the Bach convention or something like that, and it just makes sense to me. It's like, oh, this is what it's all about, this is what needs to be done. And ever since, I didn't look back. I majored in harpsichord.
So you are not only an accomplished musician, you are also an accomplished downhill skier. And I have to tell you, I run and I do other things. I have never, not even once, ever downhill skied because I am too afraid. And you have mentioned earlier in our conversation that you had polio when you were 4.5 years old. So I know that you use some special equipment for your skiing. Would you talk a little bit about how you got into skiing so seriously and what you love about it? And maybe there maybe are some parallels between music and skiing, the discipline?
Sure. First of all, yes. Thanks for, you did some research about me. Thank you. I'm passionate about ski. With all thing. Me being a sports person is not possible, and I don't even know how to ride a bike. In fact, when I first getting my driver license, my instructor told me, oh, it's just like riding a bike. It's not gonna be hard. And I said, okay, I don't know how to ride a bike, so I hope I don't give you a hard time. Or the mono ski is what I do, downhill ski. And I think I haven't gone last year because of COVID. But year before that, I was skiing Black Diamond. So I, it all began after I moved from New York. And my neighbor had a condo type thing that they go, and we were they were very nice couple, and would you like to see what's like at Tahoe? And no, your husband can go, and you know, and they were very like sensitive and gentle about the whole thing since I couldn't do it. So I said, yeah, of course I will go. You guys can do whatever you want. I can do the sightseeing, and I can eat good food. I can go to town. Not a problem. I will bring the book. I'll drink hot chocolate. I'd want to see the hill because they were going for skiing. And then I did some research on a computer, what's there. And I just Google, I don't know. It was even Google, whatever. I just searched. And they were offering some speed lessons for people with a disability. And I thought, wow, this is something that I never done this before. My sister went skate and they went ski. I stay home with my mom. Mm-hmm. This is great. I want to do this. So I contact the ski place, Alpine Meadow at that time. And so I talked to them. I said, yeah, but you know, our waiting list is really long, blah, 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 blah. I said, oh, sure, if there's a chance. And I just wanted to see what's like. So, and then the day before, they called me and said, because it's snowing, everybody canceled. Would you still want it to be take lessons? I said, of course, isn't like snow part of the sport that you need the snow to go? Why would they cancel it? And so, sure, I went. And that was bad idea because I don't use my stomach muscles and, you know, all the things that you have to do to be a sports person. So I did it. And next morning, literally, I couldn't get up. I couldn't like laugh because too hurt to my stomach. Yes, I was so sore and I just like taking, Advil or whatever. So that's, and then that's how it got started. And I just went back up every winter that I wanted to learn because I saw the pine trees going up in the lift, but you have to be advanced level to get there to see it, to experience that. So I promised myself that if I can ski down the top, not the big top, the top of the mountain, but small one, small hill, that I can go up there, I'm going to quit. Because I just wanted to see what's up there. Otherwise, there was no way I can get up anyway. Mm-hmm. So that was my promise. And then, of course, I love skiing. So, and ever since, I just go ski every winter.
Wow.
Whenever I could.
Wow.
Between concerts.
Yeah. And there's a wonderful video, and we'll put a link to that as well. There's a wonderful video of you skiing. It's very impressive. And
thank you. I don't know which video it is, but I have to say the video, I only had one fall. If it's the correct one I'm remembering, that's what they had to put in. But I don't usually fall. I wanted to make that clear.
I believe it, and I want to reiterate, I have never skied because I am too afraid. So just put that out there. But it's amazing. It's amazing. So what else are you passionate about in this moment? What is of interest to you? What's exciting? What's of concern? What's on your mind that you're passionate about right now? Maybe something we haven't even talked about yet.
I try to be more present to what I do. Mm-hmm. So something will come in the future. But of course, I like to have plans, or I can wait to go back to concert type dream, life of performance for everybody, not just me, but everybody. So I have a couple projects that I plan, and I am going to play next spring concert with two concerts with the Bar Quicken, Mr. Quicken, on Music Sources in Berkeley, and also in Stanford University. And I'm so looking forward to that.
Wow. Wonderful. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. I'm excited.
And what will you be playing? Yeah. Do you know? Do you have the program in mind yet?
Yeah, we've been talking about what's right, but we're going to be leaning towards the German program. Mm-hmm. So it's going to have some Bach and Telemann and C.P. Bach and wonderful, yummy program.
Yeah. That's
and,
lovely.
And this is not quite happening, but the other project that I'm working on is I'm currently working on an edition that we are in process of working with the publisher on the contract. So maybe I can talk about it some other time after we signed the contract, but I'm thrilled.
Very good. It's
so it's not much, but that's what it is. And I also, I love teaching.
Yeah.
And my students for privately and also classroom setup. So that's always
Yeah, good. You're a busy lady.
Happening. Yes.
Very busy lady.
Thank you. I'm trying.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I have been speaking on Zoom with harpsichordist and skier Chung Hae Kim about her life and career in music. Thank you so much for making time to chat.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here, and thanks a lot.